Hello. It is brilliant to be with you here this morning. The first question I want to ask you all really is, who is your favourite superhero? For some of you it will be Jesus, for some of you, you know, it will be Batman, yeah, it will be various different superheroes. And I wonder if you could choose any superpower just for you, what it would be. Would it be that you'd be invisible? Would it be that you could run through walls or jump off buildings? Would it be what invincible power would you have? And really this morning I'm here to talk about the Lighthouse Project. The Lighthouse Project has been going in Crawley for over 16 years now through Dave Jordan, who goes to The Vine. And I am employed to do their secondary schools work, so I go into the secondary schools mainly. I don't mainly get involved with the primary schools. We do get invited into the primary schools to work with year sixes that are just about to go up to secondary school. But mainly I work with 11s to 16-year-olds. And Viv and Dave come and help me, and Louise helps me, and Michelle helps me. And, you know, it is brilliant to have so many people involved just from your church alone. The Lighthouse Project is a joint church initiative, which has such a testimony to the schools that we work in, because we can stand there and we can say, oh, okay, well, you know, Viv's from Broadfield Christ the Lord, I'm from Crawley Community Church, you know, this person's from West Green Baptist, this person's from Three Bridges Free Church. And it is brilliant because it bowls the teachers over that actually from all different churches we have a heart for young people and that we work together in that. And it's great to do that with the young people as well, because they then get versatility in the way that we present things, in the way that we bring things, and it's a great privilege. And it says in the Bible, doesn't it, that by your love for one another, people will know that you are my disciples. And I think that working as various different churches really testifies to that. So practicalities, basically the secondary schools alone, you're looking at over 5,210 students at the moment in Crawley with the schools that we impact. So that is looking at Thomas Bennett, Ifield Community, Hazelwick and Holy Trinity. And that is the number of children that make up those schools that the Lighthouse Project are involved in just the secondary schools alone. Through the lunch clubs that we run, which are called Quest, roughly every single week we are seeing over 100 young people come to those lunch clubs. And if you put Dave on the door, that will double. We do have to limit numbers at a couple of the clubs, because one of the priorities is that not one young person leaves a lunch club without them being spoken to. And because we want to build relationship with these young people, we could just give them a youth facility. They could come, they could go. That would be great. They'd have a good time. But that's not the point of our Lighthouse groups, our Quest groups. We're Christians. We want to rub shoulders with them. We want to have an impact on them. We want them to build a relationship with us. And so we do find particular weeks that we do have both boys and girls running across the playground to get in, because it is first come, first served. And you've got to remember, this is teenagers, okay? This is teenagers coming to something where they know we're going to talk about Jesus, and they will come across the playground to get a place, and it's a great privilege. We do what we call inclusion work in the secondary schools. We get given a group of young people, roughly about 13, 14 years old, who has come into the school, have had difficulties, haven't settled down. They're now coming to about to start their exams, and basically they're the cream off the top that the school just does not know what to do with. It can be social difficulties, behavioural difficulties, all types of needy situations that these young people are coming from. And they will come and they will be with us for that year. And at the moment, we're roughly looking after 28 of those young people that we see each week. Young people really need a sense of belonging and a safe place to go. And in all the clubs and in all the things we do, we seek to provide a safe place that they can come to, a place where they will be accepted for who they are, a place where they can belong. And we do various different silly things in our clubs just so that they can identify that it's something they belong to. It's somewhere they belong. Last term, we were doing The Lord is My Shepherd. And I thought, you know, it'd be great if we had Timmy the Sheep, okay, from Shaun the Sheep, come and accompany us into our clubs. Now, we're talking about secondary school children here, but they just love it. They absolutely love it. So there are various different Timmy the Sheeps touring secondary schools, and the young people get to take him home, take a silly photo, post it on Facebook. But they love it. They absolutely love it. And I know it seems something really small, but Timmy the Sheep goes into their homes with Psalm 23, okay, attached to his arm, and they get to keep him for a whole week, you know. And before Timmy the Sheep went out, we prayed over Timmy the Sheep, okay, which is scriptural at the end of the day. There is many stories of people praying over handkerchiefs and blankets then going and giving them to sick people. And so I have no qualms in praying over birthday cards, pray over Timmy the Sheep's, praying over leaflets, tracts that we're going to give to young people, coffee cups that people are about to drink out of. You know, let's just pray and God can supernaturally move. Because at the end of the day, like you, I'm normal. Okay, I'm normal as normal can possibly be. Viv is finding that very amusing, but I am actually just a normal person. And we talked about being a superhero, and the temptation in doing work like this is you can feel like you have to be some kind of superhero. You know, you have to have it all together. You have to have this great Christian life. You have to have, you know, the most amazing supernatural stories you could come out. You've got to be in fashion. You've got to be youthful. You know, you've got to be hip. You haven't got to do that, because actually we're normal people that God gets hold of, who is supernatural. And he is the one that makes a difference in our lives. So all those myths of what you've got to do to be a youth worker, what you've got to do to work in secondary school, it is a lie of the enemy. It's not true. You don't have to be hip to relate to people. Jesus was Jesus. I don't believe that he went out his way to try and be hip and fit in. Okay, he just came with a close relationship with his Father in heaven, and that's what makes him our hero. There was nothing about him that we're told in the Bible that made him attractive, that people would recognize him. And, you know, there was no glowing light over his head. He was an ordinary man with an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, who was perfect and has fought the battles on our behalf. Basically, you know, I just think that we are given the opportunity to grab these young people and see what God would see in them. You know, the young person that the school doesn't know what to do with, to actually see potential in their lives and to actually look at, you know, their background, their situation, their economic circumstance. You know, that is not a limit on what they can experience of God's love. Their lives can be transformed and changed totally. In the Bible, it tells us to defend the weak and the fatherless and uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. You know, there are so many young people that we see each week, you know, who aren't just weak physically, but they have been battered by life and they've had enough. They don't know what to do anymore and they are weak. They're weak because they don't necessarily have the tools to make good decisions. We had a young person referred to us last week who is in year 10 and is about to be chucked out of school because they are so abusive and so rude. And in a meeting with them and with their teachers, this young person broke down and they basically said, I need help. I don't know how to speak to people. I don't know how to speak to them. I don't know I'm being rude. I don't want to upset people. I don't know how to speak to people. They called the parent in and they spoke with the parent. And the teacher said to me, it was like looking in a mirror. It was no reason for this young person to be rude and abusive, because all they knew was what they were getting at home. And they were just copying that. And they recognized they needed help. Do we write them off? Do we say they're rude? They're violent? Do we not look at all of that? Actually, we have to defend them. And the fatherless, you know, there are so many children going around without a father. I myself am a single parent, but God is their father. You know, and God can be a father to the fatherless. You know, if you're sitting here and your children haven't got a father, they've got a father in heaven who loves them and cares for them. And my little girl who was sitting over there, she said to someone who was staying with us, they were going for a walk, and she said, "Do you know what? I've got two daddies. I've got one that I don't see, and I've got one that knows all about me and I talk to all the time, and he's in heaven." Okay, our children can have daddies, and we're there to defend those who have not got earthly fathers. The Bible tells us that we're there to put the lonely into families. And what I've experienced here this morning is you guys are real. You know, it's dangerous, actually. You're a dangerous church because you're real. There's a reality about you. Okay, there's no falseness about you. You're real. And your families to each other, and you're a community here. And there's a community of young people out there that need to be put into families because they're lonely. It is said now that young people are more lonely than ever. And the greatest reason for them being lonely than ever is Facebook. Okay, because you can have what you call friends on Facebook, and it's a competition of who can get the most friends on Facebook. And you've got young people with 300, 200, you know, ridiculous amounts of people. Some people they never even speak to. Some people they never even met. Some people they didn't even know. But they look at their total of friends, and as far as they're concerned, they've got hundreds of friends. But they sit on their laptops evening by evening, after school and after school. And in early in the morning when they wake up, it's the first thing that goes on. It's synced to their mobile phones. And they can see that there are hundreds of people online, but no one's talking to them. Friends. They're called friends, but yet no one's talking to them. And they're lonely. It says here, what does the Lord require of you? You know, what does the Lord require of us here today? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. You know, what does he demand of you? What does he require of us as Christians? Actually, he wants us to act justly. He wants us to love mercy. It's hard being merciful when someone's in your face. You know, when someone doesn't fit the bill, when they don't look right. But actually, we're called to be merciful and to walk humbly. You know, we're very real with our young people, like you're real here. You know, we have hard weeks, we have good weeks, we have stressed weeks. It's important to be real with the young people and to be humble and to stand there each club and know that I'm only there because God's got me there. You know, there's nothing within me that I can present to these children, do a stand-up comedy show or some, you know, dramatic trick that's going to make it all better for them. Actually, I need to be humble before God and just be a tool for him. It's really important with the Lighthouse Project that we provide consistency to young people. They're an expression of Christ himself. Christ is given to us as the rock of our salvation, that although the earth give way and the earth fall down, actually his love stands forever. And with things being taken away, with youth workers, with establishments falling down, in this economic crisis that we face, young people need people in society that are there day in and day out. They need people that they can come and speak to. And you might not think you're doing anything, but I tell you, don't ever walk past a teenager and not say hello. Because people don't say hello to them. Whether they've got a hoodie on or not, smile at them. Okay, because actually we need to make sure that young people feel welcome for walking on the streets. And you never know, okay, they've had a bad day, they've had a really tough time, they've been chucked out of home. You're the person they walk past several times and smiled at them. Maybe they'll come and talk to you. Maybe God will open up an opportunity for you to give them the hope that they need. So rain or shine, we're there. Okay, each week we're there. We're there in the schools and we're dedicated to giving a message of hope to this generation. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is the answer to our young people of this town. There's no doubt about it. Yes, agencies can help. Yes, professionals are there. But Jesus is the ultimate answer to this generation. Without a doubt. You can't rationalise it. You can't excuse it. Yes, we can pass them on to people that are trained and have got the skills to help them with habits, you know, with addictions, with all those kind of things. But actually, Jesus is the answer to the generation. We do hotspots in our lunch clubs where we spend 15, 20 minutes and we look at various different themes every single week. And we've looked at Corinthians 13, what is love? And we did a game where, you know, when Granny went shopping, she bought an apple. And then the next person went, Granny went shopping, she bought an apple and a pear. And we did it with Corinthians 13. And particularly in Hazelweek, we were sat in a room of 30 children who by the end of 15 minutes, in the style of when Granny went shopping, could quote you Corinthians 13 of what love is. And that's what it's about. We sow the seed and we have to trust God that at that moment of crisis, at that moment when a young person doesn't know what to do, that he will bring truth to their lips and to their hearts and to their minds. We want to walk alongside them. You know, we have clubs full of boys and girls, okay, who they come and they want to be there. They hear the gospel every week, but yet they're just to keep hold of them, you know, to stop them messing about, to get them to be quiet when you need them to be quiet. It's a nightmare. Do you know what you do? You give them toffees and biscuits. Because actually, you just want them to hear the word of God. That's what we're there for. And if they can't keep quiet for a minute, are they being naughty? Are they bad? No, I don't believe they are. They just need help. They just need that split second where one word can open an absolute cavern of truth into their life by the Holy Spirit. The gospel is good news, you know, to the young person that's being bullied, to the young person that can't make decisions, to the young person who goes home and has no one to talk to the young person who's being abused, to the young person who's rich but finds absolutely no contentment in all the things that they're given, to the young person that has no father, has no mother, lives with different parents, has had stepfamily come and live with them. The gospel is the gospel to the parent who doesn't know what to do with that young person. They come home and they don't know how to talk to them. The gospel is good news to every single person. At lunch times, we play games. We might watch movie clips. YouTube is a great resource that we can teach them to use for good. We have a Facebook page and we're consistently putting good stuff on there, healthy stuff on there. And the fact of the matter is, I don't believe any of these things are wrong. You don't go into the supermarket and say, I'm never going into Sainsbury's ever again because they sell too much chocolate cake and it's bad for me. Okay? We don't say that. What we do is we stay clear of too much chocolate cake and we make sure that when we go into the shopping mall, as well as we go down the cake aisle, we also make sure we get our fruit and our vegetables. And what these children are doing is they're being given, fed all this stuff, and they're consistently walking down what I would call the cake aisle and the crisp aisle. And it's not good for them. And we're there to make them and to show them how many fruits and vegetables spiritually there are, because we want them to grow healthy and we need to provide them with a choice in order that they can make an informed decision. And we use dramas and we do various different other things. And sometimes when you think you're getting nowhere at all, some child comes up with you and says, do you know what, miss? Life's a roller coaster, isn't it? And you say, yes. And I said to this young man, yes, life is a roller coaster. But Jesus is the bar that holds us in that roller coaster, that holds us firm in our seats, whether we're going upside down, whether we're getting knocked about, whatever's happening, whether we're scared stiff of what's ahead of us. Actually, Jesus is the one that holds us there, holds us secure and keeps us safe. And he will not let us go out of the palm of his hand. It's in those moments that you see young people get hold of the truths of the gospel in the way that they can understand it. Inclusion work is the most challenging work that I have ever done, but it's the most rewarding work that I've ever done. You are working with young people that have coded language. You're working with young people that don't actually know why they're there, but they just know that supposedly they've put in what they call a naughty group and no one else accepts them. We had a young lady who decided that bravely enough she wanted to do the writing for us on a piece of paper. And in the same room was someone that actually had bullied her and they'd put them in the same group. And in that moment, the person that saw this girl's handwriting said to this person that he bullied, you have got amazing handwriting. And this girl looked at her absolutely flabbergasted that she'd complimented her. Her hands were absolutely bitten and she was a girl who did not think much of herself at all. Do you know, she came back the next week and her nails were painted, you know, and she looked us in the eye because someone had made a compliment to us. And the week before, they were given the icebreaker of, okay, I want you to tell us something that you would give away of yourself, something you would sell of yourself, or something you would borrow of someone else. Do you know what this girl said? She said, I hate my hands, I want to give them away, and I never want to see them again. But do you know what? The week after someone gave her that compliment, she never thought that of her hands at all. And we said, did you know what? God's given you two hands and I believe he's going to use them for good. And we rewarded the person that spoke good to them. It's in those life-shaping moments that you're showing them godly principles. We do the Good Samaritan and we get them to talk about different types of people that they relate to and how to love their enemies. We talk about the two prostitutes in the house who the baby died. And actually, when we're in hard times, when a lie, when do you stop telling a lie? When do you stop living a lie? When do you not put up that mask? The terrible things that we do, actually, when life draws us to the absolute desperation point, and we try and equip them to what to do in those moments. We do a project with St. Catherine's Hospice, because actually many of these young people are totally petrified of death. You know, they fear death, they fear what is happening to them. And we take them to St. Catherine's Hospice. And the teachers come to us and they went, you're really going to take them in a bus to St. Catherine's Hospice? Because these kids, they're just written off. But you know, we were privileged enough. Viv came with me and we had a meeting with Carol Ead, the mayor, and the community coalitions officer. And they said to us, do you know what? Agencies are great, but agencies don't work with these young people. It's community that works with these young people. It's community. It's putting these young people in community and it's showing. And Lighthouse, in the school's work, we provide and we look to provide a community within a school that they can come to and where they can belong. We come back each week and one particular occasion, we were sat there. We hadn't seen them for 6 weeks. We'd seen a different group. We alternate the groups and we come back and we were sat there. And this boy looked at Sue Lindridge from Crawley Baptist and looked at me and he said, you've come back. And he went, yeah. Why do you come? And we went, well, because we want to be with you. Really? Yes. We want to be with you. I can't emphasize to you how astonished they are. We can have a terrible week with them. They will storm off out the room. We pull them back and we say, we are for you. We are not against you. We are here to help you. If you want help, then we are here to help you. They are astonished that each week we come back. Because do you know what? They get teachers that go to heads of department and say, we're not teaching that pupil ever again. We're not ever going to do that. It says in Isaiah, learn to do right, to seek justice, to defend the oppressed, to take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. You know, part of our work in the Lighthouse Project for these young people is to make sure that justice is done, that we speak up for these young people, that we are their advocates, that we defend the oppressed, that people aren't just written off. Because you know what? Jesus Christ doesn't write any of us off. Whether we're poor, whether we're oppressed, whether we're fatherless, whether we're a widow, none of us are written off at all. In fact, that's why Jesus Christ came. He wasn't born in a castle. He wasn't born as a king. He was born into a dirty, pooey, smelly stable and put in a feeding trough where animals that sniff and sliver and smell and are flea-ridden live. And that's where he was. And our mess of society is flea-ridden. Our society is totally polluted and totally evil. And you know why? That's why Jesus Christ came. He came right in to be in the middle of the mess. We just had the opportunity to start in Thomas Bennett. And you know, the Lighthouse Project, we never give up. All right? And I know you guys out there, you never give up. And we've prayed for Thomas Bennett for years. And we will continue to pray for Oriel for years. And we kept going and we kept writing letters and we kept knocking on the door and we didn't get in. Until this year when I had a meeting with a lady and I spoke to her and I said what we're doing. She said, you know what, can you start next week? I want you to do assemblies, I want you to do an after school club and I want you to do a lunch club. I went, really? I said, well, I'm not sure we can start next week. But we're in there now and we do a lunchtime club and it's absolutely fantastic. The first week we opened the doors, we had 75 young people come in. The second week we opened it, we had 57 people come in. And we're in a massive hall. It's different to any other of the clubs and it is total madness. But it is absolutely fantastic. You have to fit in what you fit in 10 minutes hotspot into 5 minutes. But do you know what? They get it. They get it. And they come back. We're looking to run after school clubs and we want to provide a package for after school clubs for schools. We're working at providing sports coaching. We've got Impact Tasties team from the Prince's Trust that want to come and do healthy eating with the young people. We're looking to provide a package for these young people that will bless them spiritually, physically and mentally. There are so many opportunities out there at the moment. It blows my mind how many opportunities there are out there. The council have asked us to work and pilot things in adventure playgrounds. They want us to look after green spaces. There are so many opportunities out there. We are told by the schools that we're allowed to have a Quest library, and we're allowed to put books in the library where young people can be referred to read. And we're working with a Christian radio DJ who actually this week is going to come in and do two gigs in ICC and in Hazelwick. And he's going to play music, and then he's going to give a gospel of his testimony, and then he's going to ask how many of them want to become Christians. We've never done anything like this in any of our clubs, but I really believe it's the right time, because some of these young people view Quest as their church, and they pray. When we ask, are there any prayer requests, some weeks it doesn't stop, does it, Viv? He just goes on and on and on. Yeah, and they're not silly requests. You know, they're requests of, can you pray that my parents will stop fighting and arguing? Can you pray for my granddad who's dying of cancer? Can you pray for me because my mum's told me that I can't keep my dog anymore and I've got to say goodbye to my dog? You know, can you pray for me? I'm being bullied. Can you pray for my mum to get a new job because she hasn't got a job and she doesn't know what to do? They're real, real prayer requests. Basically, in Matthew 5:15-17, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, the Lighthouse Project is a place where we can let our light shine in really dark places, where we can be out in a young person's culture, in a young person's world, and we can be that light in their school day. There is such a need in our town at the moment, and I really believe that it is a time of opportunity for us. If you look back through history, you will see that it's Christians that started hospitals, it's Christians that started orphanages, it's Christians that started schools. And you know what, with all these cuts and with all these things closing down, it is our place as the church to get in those spaces and say, we will do it. We will do it. Unfashionable, maybe look a bit geeky, maybe a bit old-fashioned, maybe got grey hair, but do you know what? We've got the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can be a superhero because of Jesus. Ordinary people. So I want to really challenge you, really, as this church. I want to say to you, you know, let your light shine before men. We are the Lighthouse Project, but we work with volunteers. And the more volunteers we have, the more work that we can do. We have 6 volunteers at Ifield on a Monday. But do you know what? If we had 10, more young people would get to be spoken to. If we had more, we could be in the youth centre and we could be playing football with them in the playground. It's time for Christians to just invade. We need to invade every orifice of our town and of our schools and let them see God in their schools. In the Bible it says that men are without excuse because they see God in creation. What of the classroom? What of the notepaper? What of the whiteboard? What of their day do they see God in? And we need to let them see God in their school day. In Psalm 71:18, it says, even when I'm old and grey, and I have got some grey hair, it says, do not forsake me. You know, God's not finished with us when we start getting grey. We don't have to just be out there and be all of that when we're young and youthful. He won't forsake us. His purpose and plans are for you. It says, until I declare your power to the next generation. Are you ready to go to glory yet? Have you declared to the next generation? Have you passed the baton on to the generation underneath you? Have you told them about God's mighty power, his mighty acts to all to come? Have you done that? See, I'm not ready to go to glory yet. I'm not ready to stop working for the Lighthouse because I'm not confident that every single person in the generation below me know how amazing God is And I'm not going up there until that's done. So I've got to stay here. I can't be thankful enough to all of you who pray. Some of you just pray fervently. You know what schools we're at. You know what assemblies you're at. Well, you know what we are at each day. And on your chairs, there are bits of paper that say so many ways that you can be involved. You know, at the end of the day, it's not all about money. It's about whether you can pray. It's about whether you can come to a club. It's about whether you want emails and you want to know names of children to particularly pray. Any way that you can be involved, you can be involved. If you're good at playing card games, if you're good at playing chess, if you're good at playing snap, whatever it is, if you can't stand up for very long and you just sit down, great. Because actually I struggle to sit down long enough because I'm someone that's just up running around. These young people, they just need to be sat to. How's your day gone? What have you got on your lunch today? Did you make your lunch today? Do you know how to play this card game? Have you ever played Patience? Do you know how to play Connect Four? Or shall I just sit next to them? They don't want to talk to me, they don't want to look at them, but I'm just going to sit next to you. So for 1 hour a week, you're not sitting by yourself, but you've got someone sitting next to you that's not going to say, well, you're boring, you don't want to talk to me, so I'm just going to leave you by yourself. And that's what it's about. I do believe that we're about exciting times. I do believe that God is opening up doors in all our school. And I do believe that our message that we have to bring is about hope to a hopeless generation. And it's about walking in love. And it's about setting them free. Jesus came to set the captives free. And Jesus isn't here earthly now, but his Holy Spirit is in us. And therefore we can go out and set the captives free. And it says, for the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. We are those lights. When my electric went off the other day, because I hate card meters, oh, I hate them. All of a sudden, click, that's it, no power. And we had tea lights all around our house. It was very pretty. But you know what? We had one upstairs. The light that tea light gave off was most amazing. All of us together, we can be a floodlight for Jesus. And it says rivers will run through wastelands and spring up. Our children's schools, this town, your shop parade, Tilgate shop parade at the moment, that is just dealing with someone being stabbed. They've got policemen outside their house for police surveillance. They've got shops still cornered off. They are wastelands. They are barren. And actually, we need to pray that rivers will start running through those places. It says in Isaiah, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Do you know what? When I've had a hard day in secondary schools, I just think, God, I'm glad you don't get tired because I'm absolutely exhausted. And I'm glad you don't get weary of this young person that comes every day with the same problem. Or 1 week you think, great, we've done it. And the next week they're back to square one. I'm really thankful that God never grows weary and his understanding no one can fathom. I don't understand why God never gave up on me, let alone why he doesn't give up on what's out there. I can't fathom it, but I know that he's God. And I want to finish by saying two things. I want to say, do you know this Jesus personally? Do you know this Jesus that actually takes note of our distress, that cares for the fatherless, for the widows, for the poor, for the needy? He's not up for just how many great people he can get on his Facebook account in heaven that look good, that have all the credibility. They're a good person to know. Actually, he wants to know you if you're fatherless, if you're widowed, if you're distressed. And it says God took note of their distress when they cried out in Psalms. And God is great in mercy. Do you know what? Don't give up on yourself because God's not given up on you. And I do want to just encourage you what Viv said earlier. You know, don't leave this place feeling that you are disqualified from anything that's been said in this place this morning. And don't think that you have to be a superhero to serve God with the Lighthouse Project or in anything else that you're doing. And secondly, will you help? Will you help me? Will you help Michelle? Will you help Louise? Will you help Viv and Dave? Will you help Ganilla in the schools, in the primaries? Will you help be a light? Because one light is bright, but if we all stand together and be real and normal people, but with the living Lord Jesus living and active in us, we can make a difference in society. Thank you.